Hans Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and raising.
I'm back. Thanks, Case. Sorry about that. Just a minute, I guess. I just was kind of riffing on War Chant, and what a nice career. 5 for 7, and then off to a plenty successful career at stud. Plenty. You see him, and you'll continue to see him as a broodmare sire. There's two very notable, and I won't go too deep because I know we'll have an appropriate visit to pay tribute to Marty Wygod. And Wygod at 84 on Friday. And again, spending that time in California, obviously would have had Richard Mandela to talk about Wygod. But coming on the heels of Resilience's win in the Wood and his participation, obviously, in Derby, it's going to be very bittersweet. I did not know that he had, as a high schooler, hot walked at Belmont, and he went to high school with Frankel, with Bobby Frankel. This is from the Blood Horse. I don't think it is Blood Horse. There's extensive, obituary notes. Really a remarkable career in life, and as a breeder, a huge litany of success. This is we're in April. This has been a rough. We've had one difficult and sad passing after another. From a sub headline, alone or in partnership, 124 stake winners that they the Wygods bred. 124, 15 grade one winners. Unbelievable. And of course, most often, Marty and Pam Wygod, but under all kinds of various agglomerations, with their daughter Emily, and of course now she and Rick Waldman campaigning Resilience. So between. Belmont, Richard Mandela, and a couple of others, right? Here's some of the list. I forgot about Aftermarket, Harmonious. It's hard to even find them all because of the various partnerships that bred the horses and campaigned them. But this is very sad. To lose Marty Wygod, and we'll get appropriate this week. We'll get some appropriate visits in. And in fact, Rick, I suppose Rick is probably as good a catch-all. John Sheriffs too, right? John Sheriffs, right? Life is Sweet. Yeah, there's Life is Sweet. And also, I mentioned that I saw, I think on I think I saw it on Friday, but didn't get a chance to mention it. John Jacobs passed at 89. This happened on Wednesday in Florida, and I mean, again, another incredibly prominent family. The son of Hirsch Jacobs took over when Hirsch passed in 1970, and was able to win two legs of the Triple Crown with Personality and High Echelon. And there's some fun stuff. If you didn't read this, if you didn't read the Jacobs obits, it's quite something, actually. There's there's a story from his wife, Barbara, that they were together 50 years. And in fact, I reached out to Steve Wolfson, because, of course, Patrice Wolfson, Patrice Jacobs Wolfson, it was John's sister. And but Patrice was Lou Wolfson's second wife, so not not the mother of Steve and Marty and everybody. So I my immediate thought when seeing that John Jacobs died was that, you know, knowing it's very hard to keep track of between the Jacobs, the Jacobses and the Hirsches, the call that you always have to make as any kind of a news gatherer under these circumstances is to Bill Hirsch. Bill Hirsch, he's like a Wikipedia for this kind of stuff. because it's honestly, it's very confusing. There's all kinds of and so Steve, I reached out to Steve, and he says there's some interesting ties between this was not you know, I made the assumption that that John was his uncle, but he wasn't. But they were close, and in fact, he mentioned that that Steve's wife actually introduced John Jacobs to his wife Barbara, whose name was actually Barbara Dahl, D-A-H-L. So she was literally Barbie Dahl. Yeah, which was pretty funny. This is pretty entertaining. And of course, Patrice, lovely, wonderful woman. We've been lucky enough, haven't seen in a while, but lucky enough to have met, and on more than one occasion. But anyway, the story that Barbara that she talks about with John Jacobs, when Hirsch was dying in February of 1970, he was trying to communicate something to John, and John couldn't understand him. And Barbara did, and she said, "Blinkers, he's telling you that that Personality needs blinkers." And they put blinkers on, and the next thing you know, he wins the Preakness. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. He actually retired fairly soon, mid-70s, he actually retired, went into the bloodstock side, and went on for another 25 years in bloodstock. He'd been ill for quite a while. So, notable horseman, the enormous breeder owner, and a prominent horse over the weekend, essentially. More champ. Marty Wygod and John Jacobs. Let me reach for Tommy Ventura. He's out around the barns at OBS, and we'll get an update on the revised start time. Tomorrow they're going to kick off at noon, and they made it through the one lousy day of weather. that they lost on what, Thursday, and they pushed it in. So they're getting ready. Tom Ventura joins us. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to check in, and I saw that text that came from the office. You guys are going to push the start time tomorrow till noon.
Yeah, you know, we missed the day of the Under Attack show with bad weather. People were able to use most of that day to get some horses looked at, but when the weather came in about noon, it kind of shut things down. So we thought it made sense to give a little more time to get that first day's horses looked at, final looks, first looks for some of the people that got here. But don't think we needed to extend it throughout the rest of the sale, but it just gives a little bit of more breathing room for the buyers, and you know, makes most sense for everybody. And ultimately, you know, we're not going to push the end of the sale back too far. We think we'll still end around 6:30 or so.
Well, everything seems to be in position for an enormous sale, and of course, March went very well. But I can tell you that having reached out to several, you know, different outfits, you know, to have conversations this morning or over the next couple of days, I mean, virtually everybody was either there or on their way there. So it seems like you're positioned for a very big 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sale that if you want to buy two-year-olds, everybody shows up to. We got a pretty good international group here buying horses, and you know, like you said, the buying bench here is pretty deep.
The you made me think of one thing, and now I'm going to have to regroup. Oh, for goodness sakes! You talked about the off day, and it just so happened that I had reached out to, you know, when you canceled on Thursday ahead of time, knowing the weather was coming. The funny thing was, I reached out to Julie Davies and Tammy Bobo to talk about their Derby horse, Catalytic, and Julie said, she goes, I don't know how much time I'm going to have. She said, everybody's taking advantage of the day off. And she said she was surprised how busy it was that morning.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the people that are here and are here for the entire Under Attack show, you know, they had their notes and knew what they were going to need to look at. And most of the morning was okay. The wind, it was windy, but the rains came in later, you know, about 12, maybe 12:30. And then things got tougher where they couldn't look.
Talk about the catalog and what the expectations are.
You know, the catalog is really good. You know, the top sires are represented. We probably have over 150 sires represented here, and there's something here for everyone. And, you know, we got the who's who of the sires. You've got the young first crop sires, and, you know, the last few retiring groups of sires have done well and performed. And I think it between, you know, the horses by the sires, and then also you've got some New York breds, you got California breds, you got a little bit of everything. And so if you come to the April sale and you don't go home, you might have misjudged the market, because there's something here for you.
Well, and you know, you ended up with an explosive finish to March. You know, there are, as it happens already, some early results that we're seeing with the two-year-old races at Keeneland. So certain, you know, maybe a couple of stallions got some early returns that's going to draw some attention. So, you know, it feels like the components are all there.
Yeah, we had actually one of the horses that won pretty impressively at Keeneland was a Complexity.
Yep.
The other day. And that was a yearling graduate of ours. And those horses are, you know, as a group, are very, you know, nice physicals, have some precocity to them. But that was a good horse, DJ Mark Cassie. So we like those connections. So it was good to see them get off to a good start with that horse.
You know, the first croppers, you know, we focus on so often, and they did not disappoint in March.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, the tried and true, you know, still do well. And it's always exciting to see how, you know, the it translates on the racetrack with this first crop, first at the 2-year-old sales, and then obviously at the racetrack.
Well, and of course, it's one thing to see your numbers, and when it comes to the first crop, particularly the first crop stallions that had, you know, a sort of expectation. But then when you get the $1.8 million win, and here he comes back. I'm just looking. There were not 10 wins in this catalog. But then there's all the rest of the ones that we really were kind of focused on, McKenzie and that type that we had. Discussing.
Vekoma had some horses step up, and I hate to start naming names because I'll certainly miss out on them. But the wins, they also, as a group, did well over the last few days on the racetrack. So we'll see how that translates. But it's always, there's certainly promise in those horses. Win was a legitimate horse. Vekoma, legitimate horse. McKenzie, obviously. Doesn't need any introduction. So it's good. It's good to see. And I think, these next few days will go well.
The Omaha.
Yeah, we kind of set the mark pretty high last year. So we hope we can get close to that number. We had about $90 million in the 4-day sale last year. So we hope we can get close to that.
Well, and you've also, you've also got some big names too. It feels like proven sires. There's a few more represented in this book than there were in March. And by that, I'm referring to Gunrunner. There's a hatful of Gunrunners. There's a hatful of Curlins.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's, the consigners, have full confidence in this marketplace. They can bring any kind here, and they'll be rewarded for it if they've got the horse and it shows up on the racetrack.
How did the outs? I didn't look at the website for outs. Pretty
outs,
static.
That's one of the. It's unfortunately there's more outs than we care to see, but it's not unusual. We probably have 250 outs or so right now, and that'll drift upwards from here. And I think at the end, people are trying to put their horses in the best spot, and some of these horses might show back up in the June sale if they needed a little bit more time. So. But there's still plenty here for people to pick through and find what they like.
Well, we'll check in with the sale news teams the next couple of days as we track OBS April. Pretty much everybody's there, and then the scene will shift pretty quickly to Louisville and to Derby. Tom, of course, online bidding for anybody that can't be here, and all the resources at the website. There's the walk videos and the breeze videos. It's all, you don't have to be on site to participate.
Yeah, and you did mention Julie Davis. The only thing I'd like to add is that she sold the Dare Manor in the June sale, she certainly stepped up and ran a tremendous race the other day.
It's funny because we talked to Julie about her graduates, and there was a Dare Manor winning the Apple Blossom. Tom, I got a couple of queries already this morning asking if I was going to be down there to broadcast. I we've been doing March, but now there's clamoring to come down for April. So maybe
I don't know how you squeeze it into your calendar.
I don't know.
It's kind of a detour on the way to Louisville.
Well, but there's so many people that are doing it that are either shuttling. And of course, the other day in California, Gary Young was on his way. I couldn't get Gary while we were in California because he literally was leaving to come out there for the breeze show. So no, it's the focus here for the next 4 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, OBS Spring, the instrumental in stocking the shelves with 2-year-olds. These are a lot of the names, a lot of the horses you'll see at Saratoga and Del Mar and Ellis through the summer. Tom, good luck to everybody.
Thanks very much, Steve. I'm standing here right now in front of a nice and easy sign with White Barrio looking at me. So those are the kind of horses that pop out of here. I appreciate you always checking in with me.
Not at all. Tom Ventura, everybody, and Wojo, and the whole team at OBS do just a great time, a great job, and wish everybody best of luck. Let's. I got the two JWs. I got John White coming, and I've got Jim Watkins coming. Let's get Jim. I think he's in the car, let's see if Jim can take us, because tomorrow they're opening up in Collinsville, and technically it's St. Louis's racetrack, but it's Illinois Racing. Jim Watkins, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, and you are still in the car.
Yes, I am, making that familiar journey on Interstate 55 between Chicago and St. Louis.
I got to ask you this because this is that's the way my mind works. What are the best joints? There's got to be some good places to either for breakfasts or for, you know, to stop back and forth.
Well, I do have horses on the trailer, so there'll be no stopping. But in Chicago, you got to have the Chicago pizza, Steve.
Well, you're not gonna tip us on anything there. I can handle. But on the road to Collinsville, maybe that I'd like to know.
Well, I'm heading down there and looking forward to opening day tomorrow, Steve. Got a couple in.
Well, and you've been winning. I tell you, I think I sent you at least two, maybe three texts over the winter, and the most recent success coming over the weekend at Keeneland.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We made a real nice acquisition there. We claimed First Hill, and we changed just a couple things on her, and she's really come to life for us. We picked a nice non-winners of three starter allowance type race there at Keeneland, and she took to the dirt really well and very impressive win.
How about you? And there was something else. There was another nice win. Was that where were you? Where I guess it was at Turfway, probably.
We won a few at Turfway, but down at Oakland, I took Faithful Ruler.
That's right.
Down there.
He had
come off a third in the Claiming Crown at Fairgrounds, and the first weekend in December, and he stayed sharp. And we found a nice non-winners other than spot money race there. And boy, he fell out of the gate and ran off and ran a big race and won 1-4 there at Oakland.
That's what it was. And I, because I that one I was watching. And so right away, I just pulled up your numbers. Your four wins this year: Keeneland, Hawthorne, Turfway, Oakland. Pretty cool.
We're going to get things fired up at FanDuel, and we'll get things going at Hawthorne, too. We're off to a little slow start there with just one win, but we had a nice year up there last year. We won 22, and I run a split stable now between the two, Hawthorne and FanDuel, and I'll have 12 to 15 at any given time at both places, you know.
Let's talk about the FanDuel season, and I suppose as part of the conversation, I mean, everybody continues to wait and watch at Illinois. We, in general, we had a nice visit with Jim Miller when we were in Vegas at NHC, Jim, and he says that things are happening at Hawthorne and you know, the train will pull out of the station when it comes to the gaming side of things. And the watch is also going on with you guys. I mean, talk about where things stand at FanDuel.
Sure. Well, and by the way, Jim Miller is a good friend and a great guy, and it's always pleasant to deal with him up at Hawthorne. We, along with, you know, Hawthorne, FanDuel, Sportsbook, and Horse Racing, our ownership group, Hairheads, they took a very, I think, a wise approach to it. They have put together a package to build a casino. They hired an architect, a consultant, and a construction firm. But at the same time, the ownership at FanDuel sought the help from Wells Fargo and elicited potential suitors to buy it. And that's where we're at now. The ownership of FanDuel is deciding whether to go ahead and build themselves or to accept a potential sale from the four finalists that they're down to in the ownership area. So it's exciting. The horsemen are waiting with bated breath, anticipation and trepidation, but it's going to happen. And I think both FanDuel and Hawthorne, they're making sure they're doing it right when they get it done.
Are you? Can you tell us who the suitors are?
you know, I'm not privileged to that information. And I don't know if I could do if I were privileged to it. I don't know if I could tell you.
Steve. I got you.
But it's serious buyers that I could tell you. That's why they wanted to, you know, the FanDuel ownership wanted to narrow it down to people who were serious and no tire kickers, serious buyers.
I got you. All right. I mean, was that always the intention?
I'm not sure, but Mr. Sturitz is a very good businessman. He ran Ralston Purina for years, and really it was a solid approach. You know, his age, he's in his upper 80s, and, you know, he just wanted to really step back, be organized about it, and make a very educated decision, and that's what he's doing. We still feel that the casino is coming, and it'll be here sooner than later. We are also at FanDuel with that Collinsville location, confluence of three interstates there, crossroads of the United States, a nice big city across the river in St. Louis. We think this casino is going to do really well, and the horse racing program is going to bounce back, and there'll be a renaissance of racing in Southern Illinois.
Well, it can't come, you know, it can't come soon enough, obviously. I mean,
without question, we're on life support. I say that. We're still on life support, but we're, the horsemen are hanging tough and hanging in there.
In terms of the season, then, for this year, we having another St. Louis Derby. I mean, talk about the stakes program and the overnight program.
Very good. Yes, it's basically the same. It'll reflect what we had last year. 62 days, 2 days a week are Tuesday afternoons, which we're expecting, you know, if the rain will stay away, you know, for opening day, about 5,000 people. And we usually, you know, once again, with accommodating weather, 2,500, 3,000 people on a Tuesday afternoon.